Just in closing remarks, I asked the elders who were serving at our convention to summarize their discourses. Some have a little longer summary, some have a shorter. So I just want to close first with that. Brother Homer, cast not away your confidence. With the passage of time from 1914 until 2011, we note the church is still here. We should not become discouraged and discard the harvest message because of failed expectations regarding past dates. Unfortunately, some who once believed in the second presence are starting to doubt. The truths we hold are as a result of the Lord's return and serving us meat in due season through a wise and faithful servant. And without this food, we would not be able to harmonize scriptures and refute false doctrine. Although Bible students do not see eye to eye on every facet of truth, we should be able to agree on the basic and allow liberty of expression on non-essential matters. There are various reasons why the establishment of the kingdom has appeared to delay, even though according to God's timetable, although it may have been predicted that the harvest would end in 40 years because of parallelism between the Jewish and the Gospel ages, we don't know why the last grain of wheat was gathered. So from the Jewish harvest, and likewise cannot set a date for the end of the Gospel harvest. Since the body of Christ will be international in scope, the Lord's people all over the globe must be thoroughly tested, and God grant everyone the divine nature. May we appreciate the spirit of loving our brethren and allow the sanctifying process to continue in our lives, and never cast away our confidence in the Heavenly Father because of date projections, but instead let us be faithful unto death. A Song of Messiah. We considered the 45th Psalm verse by verse and noted it was describing a royal wedding, the main character of whom was the Lord Jesus Christ. During his earthly ministry, he demonstrated qualities of faithfulness, a love for righteousness, and a hatred for iniquity. As such, he was rewarded with the divine nature and now returns during his second advent, not as a suffering servant, but as a conquering king. His father, Jehovah, has desired for his son to have a bride, and thus there has been a call for the church to follow in his footsteps by living a life of consecration and sacrifice. Although there is no call to become a part of the great company as a secondary spiritual class, God has extended his mercy so that as the bride's companions, they will serve before the throne and not on the throne. The ancient worthies will be the noble representatives of the kingdom as princes in all the earth during mankind's toward the obedience and righteousness. Unfortunately, all the human family will praise God as they see the magnificent plan of salvation and give them opportunity for everlasting life here on earth. Beautiful thoughts. This is Brother Jonathan Freer. Strive lawfully. Strive lawfully means we need to find God's way. We need to look for the road map He has prepared for us. We find our way and the things we need to do and accomplish in the divinely inspired scriptures. The two most powerful beings in the universe want all of us to succeed. How can we fail if we heed God's instruction? The path is narrow, but all God's help will help us win the race. This is Brother Raphael Nemchuk. First, make a choice to whom to serve and build the house for the Lord, our families and ecclesias, to be a part of His house. Work hard, especially if you had an easy start. Pray for the fruits of the Spirit. Take good care of them. Never let them go rotten. And this is Brother Peter Mora. Before, during, and after the upper room, our theme text starts with trust in the Lord with all your heart, and the greatest example of a human being trusting our Heavenly Father with all his heart was Jesus Christ. He willing became the sacrificial Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world once for all, and he lovingly and faithfully walked the path which was set before him by the Heavenly Father. May we follow in his example by always trusting in the Lord with all our hearts as we walk down the narrow path which is set before us by a Heavenly Father. On the panel discussion, fear and faith can both be defined as having an expectation of a future event, something that is believed without being seen. Therefore, we can measure our level of trust in the Lord based on how often we are controlled by fear. Let us walk by faith, not fear, knowing when we seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, the Lord will take care of all our needs. He will make straight our paths. Are you serious? We must understand and believe who we are. We are the spiritual firstborn, joint heirs with our head, Jesus Christ. In the same way the Heavenly Father watched over His only begotten Son every minute of every day, we must trust in the Lord with all our heart by believing He is also watching over us every minute of every day. After all, when we wake up in the morning, the Lord already knows what is going to happen to us that day. And the coming trials and experiences of that day are custom designed to shape us and make us perfect for fitting into the body as He sees best. However, if we are tempted to fear our coming trials, we must realize that temptation is the direct path to sin. So we should pray to the Lord those three words, change my thoughts, that we may get off the path of temptation and on the path which is pleasing and acceptable to Him. Finally, if a child asks, what will it cost you to be there with the Lord? We would answer by saying, everything. And if they then ask, are you serious? We would answer, yes, I am. And Brother Brad wanted to shorten his a little bit here, but we'll read it as it is. The Sarah Covenant. Sarah Covenant provided the typical and antitypical seed by the power of God's Holy Spirit to produce the seed of promise. This seed will become heirs of the Abrahamic promise with Christ, will bless all the families of the earth. This is a spiritual covenant, a covenant of grace, a covenant of sacrifice. Sarah is our mother, as Abraham, who represents God, is our father. As a child only has one mother, so the spirit begotten are under only one covenant. Given for the new covenant, the second set of stone tablets hewn out by the mediator Moses and written upon by God's Holy Spirit represents the spirit begotten of this gospel age, cut out by the world by the greater mediator Jesus. The spirit begotten now serve as ministers of a future new covenant by 1, writing the laws of God in their hearts, 2, assisting their brethren to do the same, 3, help their families, friends, neighbors, workmates by being Bibles seen and read of men to righteous living and enable them to have quickly move to walk the highway of holiness. The church, like the tablets, will teach mediate mankind back to God during Christ's 1,000-year kingdom. The church does not receive blessings of the new covenant mediation, but will dispense them. After the little season, perfected mankind will be presented back to God as Christ delivers his kingdom to God. The new covenant will then be ratified between God and men, and then the Lord's prayer will be answered. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the ages to come. So those are the summaries of the brethren who served at this convention, and some of the other brethren did not comment on the panel, but we know that they did a wonderful job of describing and illuminating our hearts regarding the theme scripture, which I think, at least on my own heart, I found made it quite an impression of how we are trusting the Lord and apply different ways of by the examples they cited from the Old Testament and New, how we can apply these or those lessons in our own lives. So we'd like to thank everybody for coming here to this convention. It's just been a wonderful blessing for Mr. Helen, myself, and I'm sure Ben and Sue and Brother Albert and the Stutskys and the Saskatoon brethren, Brother Jerry's, Don and all that were involved in arranging for this convention. So we want to express our thanks to all of you who came and supported us and kind of gave your hearts to help us appreciate what, when we come together as a body of Christ, as members in particular, that there is this blessed unity, there's this blessed fellowship, a communion. So for that, we're very thankful. And we're thankful we have brethren from as far as the Ukraine, but are living in Canada now, and the West Coast, and Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Mississippi there, and I wonder if we get your brother Mark. We never heard of much of brethren in Mississippi, but here we have in Highland Park, New York, and if I have forgotten, Chicago, Karen is going. Our daughter Karen and Sister Rhoda Larson, they came a few days before, and they gave us a helping hand, especially when Ben's basement was being flooded. So they were harnessed, as well all of us, to around the clock pump out water out of the basement. So that was an experience. But the Lord provides in so many different ways, and how exciting it is to see that we have the two brethren that we knew were going to be baptized from Alberta, Jana Lee and Brother Joe. And how exciting that must be for the family to know what a blessing that will be. And then the third candidate, Sir Jean Walrick, how she made the decision, and how when I was sitting over there, I saw some excitement over there, and I saw Donna jump, and then I saw Connie jump and shedding tears, and I thought, wow, there must be some accident or something. And I didn't know until somebody after said that, oh, there's another, their mother is symbolizing her consecration. So that added to the excitement. And so we want to thank all of the musicians and the brethren that helped out. So many sisters, like from Winnipeg and from other areas, that helped us out in so many different ways with the convention, carrying the food from the house to here and cleaning up and so on. So we truly appreciate that.